بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. This afternoon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will be taking out, this is our second session, reading from the sharh of Kitab Durus al-Lughat al-Arabiyya لغير الناطقين بها, الجزء الأول, تعريف Dr. Fa Abd Rahim. Yani, today this is our second session reading from the sharh, the explanation of the lessons in Arabic language for non-Arabic speaking people. First volume, book one, authored by Dr. Fa Abd Rahim, and this explanation is written by Al-Ustaz Hussein ibn Ahmed ibn Abdullah Ali Ali. And he is a teacher, مدرس بمهد تعليم اللغة العربية بالجامعة الإسلامية. Yani, he is a teacher, an Arabic language teacher in the Arabic Language Institute at Islamic University of Medina. And this lesson is intended, or this book is intended, to be a brief explanation of the main grammatical rules found in the Al-Juz al-Awwal, the first volume of the Arabic Language Institute program for non-Arabic speaking people. So, what we intend to do in these sessions over the next few weeks is to explain the main grammatical rules that came in each lesson from the book one of the Medina program. You will see as we go through the lessons that there are some secondary points that are not mentioned in this explanation, because the point is to primarily cover the fundamental rules, the most important rules that came in each lesson. Pretty much the author of the explanation, the sharh, he has pretty much stuck to the order of the information as it came in the original Medina books. So he goes from lesson 1 to lesson 23, basically for the most part, with just a few exceptions, covering whatever is covered in each lesson of the most important rules. As far as the secondary rules, some of them have been passed over. Inshallah, if anybody has studied the Medina Book 1 and they recognize that there are some points in a particular lesson that we're not covering, then it's possible for you to go back to the original Medina books and try to review from there. So, part of our format that we'll be following, we'll read from the actual sharh and we'll explain and translate the entire lesson from the beginning to the end. And in addition to that, we will also go back and look at some of the grammatical points in the English key from the original Medina books. So, and we've sent to those who registered with the class, we've sent you two PDF files, one for this sharh, which is our main text, and another for the English key for the original Medina books, which we'll be referring to at the end of each lesson. After we go through the sharh, then we'll go back to the English key and look at some of the points. We're not necessarily going to read the entire English key, but we're going to look at some of the points, especially some points that may not be mentioned here in the sharh from the secondary points, or any other matters that we feel necessary to review, even if it came here in the sharh. And as I mentioned last week, we'll also have some supplementary activities, like a vocabulary review quiz. And it's just a quiz to help you to see where you're at in terms of the vocabulary, Arabic vocabulary in general, and specifically the Arabic vocabulary that came in the original Medina books. The second exercise that we're going to try to do whenever we have time is a listening exercise. Yani, where you just listen, you don't look at the book, you listen and you translate. Yani, without looking at the book and without writing it down, you just orally translate. So I'll read some examples from the sharh. I'll translate some of them and maybe others I won't translate. But in any case, the point here is this is a listening exercise for you to listen to what we've read in the book without looking at the book and see if you can translate it orally. The third type of activity, which we hope to do whenever we have time, is called imla, dictation. That is, you listen without looking at the book and you write. You listen and you write. So there are two skills here. Your listening skills and your writing skills are involved in imla or dictation. So sometimes we're going to also try to do that. And I also want to recommend, before we go any further, I want to recommend that you try to find a study partner so that you can read to that person and you can listen to them, they can read to you, and you can also discuss some of the rules. It's good to have somebody you need to talk to on a regular basis, somebody that in your family or somebody in your neighborhood or somebody that you see on a regular basis where you work or whatever. Now, okay, so let's get started. Today we're going to try to cover two more lessons, Ad-Dars Al-Thalith and Ad-Dars Al-Rabi'. We're going to try to cover two lessons. And before we enter those lessons, I want to quickly review what we covered in the first session. Primarily, skipping the examples, I want to just look at the definitions of the points that are mentioned in each lesson. So in the first lesson, there were actually four main points that were defined and explained. And in the second lesson, there were three main points. So I want to go over those 7 points with you right now. Okay, so the main points are the explanation of each matter that came in the lesson. So if we look at, go back to page 3 from Ad-Dars Al-Awwal, that lesson was about the word hadha. And right under the word hadha is the explanation that I want you to memorize. If you can't memorize it, at least try to retain the essential elements of what is mentioned concerning hadha. So it says, هذا اسم إشارة للمفرد المذكر القريب العاقل وغير العاقل. Sounds like a lot, but in any case, in time it will become easy, right? So you should know each one of these words. And again, as part of your homework, reading through the lesson before we have our live session, you read through and you try to highlight or underline or circle the words that you are not familiar with, so when we go through the lesson, you can write in their meanings. Okay, so let's look quickly at this. Any discussion concerning hadha? Ismu isharatin. It is a noun that's used for pointing. Lil mufradi, to that which is singular, not dual or plural. Al mudhakkari, that which is masculine, not feminine. Al qaribi, that which is near, not far. Al aqili, وغير العاقلي, for the aqil, the rational, intelligent being, as well as irrational, non-intelligent beings. So the ism ishara can be used to point to that which is aqil, a human being, as well as غير العاقل, yani non-human being, animals or inanimate things and so on. Okay, so this is very, very important that you learn this. Ism ishara, is a demonstrative pronoun in English grammar. It's used for pointing. Three things that you must pay attention to. The mufrad, singular, mudhakkar, masculine, and qareeb, near. Because we're going to see in the second lesson, ذَلِكَ, that is also ism ishara, لِلْمُفْرَدِ المذكر, مذكر, but instead of al-qareeb, it has al-ba'eed. So it's also used for singular, pointing to something that's singular, individual, masculine, but instead of that which is near, it's pointing for that which is far. So these three characteristics are very important. The ism ishara hadha is used for al-mufrad, al-mudhakkar, al-qareeb. And it's used both for aql and ghair aql. Okay, then we have some examples. When you go down to the next point, ma hadha. Okay, so in this point, the second point of this lesson, we have the word ma. And what is said about it? Ismu istifhamin lighayri al-aqili. It's an ism istifham, a noun that's used to seek fahm, understanding, meaning an interrogative, to ask a question. Ism istifhamin. It's an interrogative noun. Li ghayr al-aqili, for irrational, non-intelligent things. Asking a question about that which is not human. Yani asking about an animal or a plant or an insect or a tree. Yani something in irrational, non-intelligent. Okay, ism istifhamin لغير العاقلي, for other than humans. But it's an interrogative noun that's used to ask questions. Then there are examples. When you go down to the bottom part of the page, أَهَذَا سَرِيرٌ, it says, this Hamzatul Qat, the Hamza written on top of the Aleph with the Fatha, it is Hamzatul Istifham. It's also Istifham, interrogative. But it's Hamzatul Istifham. It's the Hamza that's used to ask a question. It's a harfun. It's a particle. It's not a noun. It's not a verb. It's a particle. Harfun jawabuhu na'am awla. And the answer to a question that is introduced with Hamzatul Istifham, the answer is either going to be yes or no. Okay, this is the third point of lesson one. And the last point of lesson one is, يعني من هذا؟ It says, من اسم استفهام للعاقل. اسم استفهامي استفهام للعاقل. So it is also a noun, an interrogative noun, that's used to ask a question for عاقل, for human beings. Okay, so the difference between من and ما, من here is اسم استفهام للعاقل. And ما is اسم استفهام لغير العاقل. لغير العاقل. And then they gave some examples. Okay, so that is what we covered in lesson 1, 4 points. هذا, ما, همزة الاستفهام, and من. And men. In lesson 2, on page 5, there were 3 points that we want to look at. يعني this lesson is dealing with the اسم إشارة, ذلك. Okay, and the point that I want you to pay attention to is just like in هذا, it says, اسم إشارة للمفرد المذكر البعيد العاقل وغير العاقل. يعني اسم إشارة, يعني a noun that's used for pointing, demonstrative pronoun. 3 things that we want to pay attention to, just like we do to هذا, يعني المفرد singular, not dual or plural. Because there are ism ishara for duals and ism ishara for plurals. Al-mudhakkari, used to point to things that are masculine. That are masculine, not feminine. Al-ba'idi, for things which are far and not near. Al-qaribi is for, hadha is for qarib, and dhalika is for ba'id. And like hadha, dhalika is used for aqil and ghayr aqil, yani intelligent being as well as non-intelligent being. They gave examples, and then we go down to the second point of this lesson. Men hadha and men dhalika. And here they make us to understand من هذا is سؤال عن القريب العاقل. سؤال عن القريب العاقل. يعني من is a سؤال. يعني من we said, يعني is in this lesson we're saying that it is a question word. يعني اسم استفهام that's used to ask about things which are near and عاقل. من هذا. Why do we say near? Because we said من هذا. Okay, so هذا is for near, من is for عاقل. So the point here is that when we're asking about human beings, we say من. من هذا or من ذلك. Okay, so من هذا سؤال عن القريب العاقل. من is used to ask about العاقل, the human being. And هذا is used for things which are near. من ذلك سؤال عن البعيد العاقل. يعني who is that? يعني this من ذلك. من is a word that's used to ask a question. Since it's with ذلك, it's for بعيد, but من is used for عاقل. So من هذا or من ذلك, both of them are used to ask about عاقل, human beings. But من هذا is for قريب, من ذلك is for بعيد. Then they gave some examples. And then the last point is ما هذا وما ذلك. ما هذا وما ذلك. يعني what is this and what is that. And they said ما هذا is سؤال, it's a question, عن القريب غير العاقل. On that غير العاقل, يعني it's used to ask about something that is near, that is non-intelligent, irrational, يعني object, irrational object. ما هذا. ما is used for غير العاقل. من is used for عاقل. عاقل means the human. غير عاقل means other than human, generally speaking. I mean, there's some more specifics to this, but we'll talk about it, يعني, at another time when we get to the غير عاقل plurals in lesson 16 and 17. ما ذلك سؤال عن البعيد غير العاقل. غير العاقل. So we see here that ما هذا and ما ذلك is used to ask about things, هذا for قريب and ذلك for بعيد, but ما itself is used for غير عاقل, من is used for عاقل. So this is the main point that we want to say here. Is that the distinction between ما, which is used to ask about العاقل, humans, الغير عاقل, non-humans, and من, which is used to ask about العاقل, yani the human beings. Okay, من for عاقل, ما for غير عاقل. Okay, so that's what we covered last week. And I think it's very important that we review, but and most importantly, you know, you have to take some time, as much as you can, to review some of these words. Okay, very, very important to review. Yani hadha and dhalika and the difference between them. Men and ma and the difference between them as well. This is what we covered last week, and this is all we're going to look at now for our review. Now we're going to go to the lessons for today. That is the third lesson and the fourth lesson. Okay, just one second. Okay. Let's turn to page 6. Yani, the next lesson, الدرس, الدرس الثالث, is on page 6 and 7. Page 6 and 7. The main part of the lesson is on page 6. That's where the explanations come of what we're going to cover in this particular lesson. So on the top of page 6, we see الدرس الثالث. And by the way, in case you didn't notice, the numbers on the bottom of the page in the center, but they're written very, very small. So it's important, yani, that you either pay attention to those little numbers on the bottom of the page or rewrite the number on the pages, yani, bigger, so that it's easy to notice as we're going through pages. Okay, so we're on page 6. Ad-darsu al-thalithu. Ad-darsu al-thalithu. The third lesson. At the top of the page, we see a hamza with fatha and lam with sukoon. L. And then they say L is harfu ta'arifin. Harfu ta'arifin. Sometimes it's called alif lam at-ta'arif. Alif lam at-ta'arif. Yani the alif lam that indicates something being definite, being ma'rifa. Being ma'rifa, as we will see as we go through this lesson. Harfu ta'arifin, yani a particle that indicates something is definite, as opposed to yani something that's indefinite. And we're going to see in this lesson the contrast between alif lam at ta'arif, yani the definite article, and tanween, the indefinite article. Yani tanween being the double vowel at the end of a noun, yani tu dhamma or tu fatha or tu kasra, yani dhammatan, fathatan wa kasratan. So at the top of the page, yani, brief explanation, alif lam is called harfu ta'arifin, a particle of definiteness, the particle of definiteness. And then they give us some examples. And again, in homework, what you have to translate are the examples. So these examples you should have already translated. If there are any words that you didn't know, and I think all of these words would be known to us because these are like vocabulary from the early stages of book one. The examples should be translated before we begin our weekly session. So here they give us contrast between tanween, the indefinite article, and alif lam, the definite article. Let's look at the examples that they give us here. The first word, baytun, contrasted with al-baytu. So, baytun means what? Baytun, a house. A house, any house. As opposed to al-baytu, which means the house. Yani, a particular, specific house. Going across. Masjidun, in contrast to al-masjidu. Masjidun means what? A masjid. Al-masjidu means the masjid. The particular masjid. I'm talking about a particular masjid, not any masjid. Masjidun, if somebody said, take me ila masjidin. Take me to a masjid, you can take them anywhere to any masjid. But if they say, take me ila al-masjidi, that means they are talking about a particular specific masjid, which if you don't know which one they're talking about, you have to ask. Because al-masjid is definite. That means they're talking about a specific, particular masjid. Going across. Qalamun. Al-qalamu. Qalamun means a pen. As opposed to al-qalamu, which means the pen. Underneath this, there's a rule, a point of information that's very important. In bold print, it says, يُحْذَفُ التَّنْوِينُ عِنْدَ دُخُولِ الْفْلَامِ. يُحْذَفُ التَّنْوِينُ. The tanween, the double vowel at the end of a word, is removed. يُحْذَفُ. It is omitted. It is deleted. It goes away. عِنْدَ دُخُولِ الْفْلَامِ. At the time of the entry of alif lam. Yani when alif lam is placed on a word, attached to a word, then the tanween is yuhdafu, it's omitted, it's deleted, it's removed. Okay, so this is a rule, that if you add alif lam to a word, the tanween has to be removed. So you notice in the examples above, baytun al-baytu, masjidun al-masjidu, qalamun al-qalamu, we notice that the first word, baytun, when we add alif lam, it loses tanween and takes a single vowel. So this is the rule, that tanween has to be removed. A single vowel remains whenever alif lam is added to a word. So generally speaking, with some exceptions, special words, yani nouns in Arabic will either have alif lam or tanween. Will never have both of them together. But one of them should be, yani a word should be accompanied with one of them. The word should either be definite or indefinite, one or the other. If it's definite, then it usually will have tanween. If it's indefinite, usually if it's definite, it will have alif lam. And if it's indefinite, it will have tanween. And there are some words that are definite without alif lam. That's something that we'll discuss later. Okay, after this they gave us examples. And these examples should be translated. Al-qalamu maksurun. And then it has a check, meaning sahih. Yani, that this statement is correct. Al-qalamu maksurun, meaning, what does it mean? The pen is broken. The pen is broken. Next one, going across. Al-babu maftuhun. Al-babu maftuhun, meaning, the door is open. The door is open. And then it has the check again. Sahih. The last one going across. Al-waladu jalisun. Al-waladu jalisun. Meaning, the boy or the child is sitting. Is sitting. So, what we are seeing in these statements here, which are actually sentences, they are simple nominal sentences, jumla ismiya, beginning with a noun, consisting of two parts, a subject and a predicate. In Arabic we call it the subject, al-mubtada'u, and the predicate we call it al-khabaru. So this is a simple nominal sentence, consisting of a subject and a predicate, al-mubtada' and al-khabar, and we see, yani, that the two words in these sentences are contrasted by the first word having alif lam and the second word having tanween. So generally speaking, the noun in Arabic is going to have alif lam or tanween, one or the other. Never will it have both of them together. Now let's look at the next line of examples. Al-qalamun. And it has an X next to it because this is a khata. It's a mistake. Why is it a mistake? Al-qalamun. The reason why it's a mistake is khata, because it has alif lam and tanween together. And this is not possible in the Arabic language. The next word, qalamu, qalamu. And it's also khata. It's a mistake. Why is it a mistake? It's a mistake because it has neither alif lam nor tanween. It doesn't have alif lam, in which case then it should have tanween. Or if it doesn't have tanween, then it should have alif lam. That's the general rule, that a noun in Arabic is either definite or indefinite, generally speaking. Yani, if it's indefinite, it will have tanween, and if it's definite, it will have alif lam. But there are other ways in which a word can be definite in Arabic other than alif lam, but this is the rule that we're working with at this stage. And the last example, al-waladun jalisun. Al-waladun jalisun khata. This is also a mistake. Why? Because the first word, al-waladun, has Aleph Lam and Tanween on one word, and this is not possible in Arabic language. I hope this is clear. So, the summary of this matter is that in Arabic, yani nouns are either definite or indefinite, and this is indicated for the most part generally by either Aleph Lam if it's definite or Tanween if it's indefinite. Now we want to look at some other expressions that are related to Aleph Lam and Tanween. An-nakiratu wal-ma'rifatu. Wal-ma'rifatu. An-nakiratu means that something is indefinite. Al-ma'rifatu means that the word is definite. An-nakira is indefinite and al-ma'rifa is definite. Okay, now they're going to give us the explanation in Arabic. It says, an-nakiratu شيء غير معين. النكرة is شيء غير معين. يعني النكرة it is something. شيء غير not معين. Not particular or specific. Something that is not particular or specific. غير معين. غير means negation. Not. Like غير المغضوب. Not those who Allah's غضب is upon. Nahu means for example. Yani, nahu, for an example of a word that is nakira, something that is غير معين, is baytun, a house. Qalamun, a pen. Rajulun, a man. Bintun, a daughter. These are examples of what? Words that are nakira. Yani, things that are غير مُعَيَّنٍ غَيْرُ not مُعَيَّنٍ not particular, not specific. Now we go down to the next line. الْمَعْرِفَةُ الْمَعْرِفَةُ What is مَعْرِفَةُ? شَيْءٌ مُعَيَّنٌ Something that is particular, specific, definite. شَيْءٌ مُعَيَّنٌ Something, شَيْءٌ مُعَيَّنٌ definite or specific or particular. نَحْو for example, examples of that. Al-baytu, the house. Al-qalamu, the pen. Al-rajulu, the man. Al-bintu, the daughter. So notice that the examples in the nakira line yani are the same examples in the ma'rifa line, except that in the first line they have tanween, second line they have alif lam. Now they want to give us further clarification concerning the word, a word that is nakira, that is indefinite, like, that has tanween, like baytun. Baytun yashmalu kullal buyuti walaysa baytan muayyanan. Baytun, this word baytun means a house. Okay, it's indefinite. So it yashmalu includes, covers kullal buyut. All houses. Yani every house is a bait. Every house is a bait. So when you say baitun, it means any house. Yashmalu kullu al-buyut. Yani any house that you go to can be, you can say this is a baitun. Wa laysa baitan muayyanan. When you say baitun, you don't mean laysa baitan. It is not a house that is muayyanan. Yani specific, particular. A particular or specific house. It is not a particular or specific house. When you say baitun, it includes every house, all houses. It's not a particular house. Whereas if you say al-baytu on the next line, yadullu ala baytin muayyanin bidhatiha. Yani, al-baytu yadullu point to, yani yadullu ala point to baytin, a house, muayyanin, that is particular or specific, a particular specific house, bidhatihi, yani in and of itself, bidhatihi, a particular house, a specific particular house, bidhatihi means, yani itself, the thing itself, the entity itself. So, baytun includes all houses, not a particular house, and al-bayt points to a particular house, specific particular house, yani a particular entity. Okay, so here, what we have seen so far in this lesson, before we go on to the next part of the lesson, we have seen Aleph Lam contrasted, yani the harf ta'rif, the definite particle, We've seen it contrast with the indefinite article tanween, the double vowel at the end of a noun. And these two particles, yani, alif lam, harf ta'rif, and tanween, indicate that a word is either nakira or ma'arifa, yani indefinite or definite. And then they explain to us what is the nakira, something that is not specific, not particular, غَيْرُ مُعَيِّن. And the ma'arifa means شَيْءٌ مُعَيِّن, something that is particular and specific. Okay, so بَيْتٌ, the word that is النَّكِرَ, yani it's indefinite, includes everything that comes under that word, that common noun. Any house. بَابٌ, any door. سَيَّارَةٌ, any car. It includes every car. If you say سَيَّارَةٌ, it's not a specific one, not a specific car. Whereas البيت or السيارة indicates a specific, any particular house or car or whatever. Okay, the second part of this lesson, lesson 3, deals with الحروف, at the bottom of page 6, الحروف القمرية. الحروف القمرية. يعني the lunar letters. Al-huruf is the plural of harfun. And harfun is one of the categories of, the three categories in the Arabic language. Yani, ismun, fi'lun, wa harfun. Ismun, nouns, fi'lun, verbs, and harfun, particles. So, al-huruf, al-qamariya, are letters. Yani, known as lunar letters, or moon letters. Lunar letters, sometimes they call them moon letters, related to the moon, al-qamar. Al-qamariya, yani related, an inscription to the moon, the letters of the moon letters or the lunar letters. Wal-hurufu al-shamsiyyatu, with shadda on the ya, wal-hurufu al-shamsiyyatu are the solar letters or the sun letters. Yani sun letters and moon letters. Solar letters and lunar letters. Al-hurufu al-qamariya, the letters that are related to Al-Qamar, the moon, Al-Huruf, Al-Shamsiyya, the letters that are related to the sun. And the relation here is not to the actual moon itself or the sun, but it's related to the fact that the word for moon, Al-Qamar, begins with a letter, that when Alif Lam is attached to it, the Lam is pronounced with Sukoon. Okay? The word Al-Qamar, you pronounce the Lam in it. Whereas the word Al-Shams, you don't pronounce the Lam in it. So words that are shamsiya, we mean words that are like the word shams, meaning that the first letter of that word, if you add alif lam to it, the lam is not pronounced. Okay, al-huruf al-qamariya, a word that begins with one of them, when you add alif lam to it, the lam is pronounced with sukoon, whereas al-huruf al-shamsiya, the solar letters, when you add alif lam to words that begin with any one of them, then the lam is not pronounced. Rather, there's idgham. It is assimilated or merged into the sun letter, which is then doubled with shadda. Okay, let's see what they say about al-huruf al-qamariya wal-huruf al-shamsiya. This is really the fourth and fifth point of this lesson. The first point is alif lam. The second point is the word al-nakira. The third point is the word al-ma'rifa. And the fourth point is al-huruf al-qamariya. And the fifth point, al-huruf al-shamsiya. So let's read the last two lines. Fourth and fifth points of this particular lesson. Bottom, next to the last line, الحروف القمرية ينطق السكون على اللام. الحروف القمرية, يعني the lunar letters, ينطق السكون على اللام. يعني ينطق means it is pronounced. What is pronounced? Yani is pronounced with sukoon. Yani is pronounced the lam, yani, of the alif lam, when it's added to words that begin with al-huruf al-qamariya, that lam is pronounced with sukoon. Mean you pronounce it as its sound without a vowel. But you pronounce it, the sound of that letter, without a vowel. So in this case, we're talking about the lam of the harf al-ta'rif alif lam. That lam is pronounced with sukoon, means you're going to pronounce it, yani, whatever its sound is without a vowel. And then they gave us, yani, the example, al-qamaru. Yani the lam and el is pronounced, sukun is written and is pronounced without a vowel. Yani the lam itself doesn't have a vowel, but you pronounce the lam. El qamaru. The last line says, al hurufu al shamsiyatu, yani the solar letters or sun letters, la yuntaqu al sukunu ala lami. Yani the sukun, la yuntaqu, it is not pronounced. The sukun is not pronounced ala lami, on the letter lam of alif lam when the word begins with a solar letter. وَتُوْضَعُ شَدَّةٌ عَلَى الْحَرْفِ الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ. So, حروف شمسية, words that begin with a sun letter, the sukoon on the lam, yani, it's not pronounced. It's not pronounced. Yani the lam is not going to be pronounced. There's no, you're not going to write sukun there because the lam is not going to be pronounced. But rather, tuba'u shadda. Yani the shadda, which is the thing that looks like a little W placed on top of a letter. The shadda, which means that the consonant which has shadda on it is doubled. That means it's two of them. The first one must have sukun and the second one has a vowel. Tuba'u shaddatun ala al-harfi alladhi ba'dahu. So, what they're saying here, al-huruf al-shamsiyah, the lam in alif lam, when it's attached to a word that begins with a sun letter, the lam is not pronounced. The sukun on the lam is not pronounced. Rather, a shadda is placed, tuda'u. Shadda is placed, al-harf, on the letter, al-ladhi, which is ba'dahu, after it. Yani after the lam of alif lam, yani, the lam, no sukun is written, lam is not pronounced, but rather a shadda is placed on the letter which follows the lam. A shadda is placed there, meaning the lam is merged or assimilated into that sun letter. The sun letter is doubled, so instead of the lam, the sun letter is going to be pronounced twice. One for the word itself and one in place of the lam. For example, they gave us ash-shamsu. We don't say al-shamsu, the lam is not pronounced. Rather, the sun letter, the first letter of the word, is doubled with shadda, and the lam is replaced by that letter, so that the letter is pronounced twice. Ash-shamsu. Ash-shamsu. As opposed to al-qamar, where the lam is pronounced. Okay, this is the end of this lesson. And again, there are 5 points here. Harf, ta'rif, the alif lam, contrasted with tanween, which is the indefinite article. And then the word an-nakira, yani that which is indefinite something, that is غير مؤين, not particular. Al-ma'rifa شيء مؤين, something that is particular or specific. We also mentioned there that when words have tanween, it includes every word of that common noun. Yani, baytun includes all of the buyut, every house. It's not a particular house. And al-baytu points to a particular house, yani baytin muayyinin bidhatihi. Al-huruf al-qamariyya wal-huruf al-shamsiyya means the lunar and the solar letters, or moon and sun letters, and the rule concerning them is that whenever a word has attached to it alif lam, you have to look. If that word begins with a lunar letter, you don't, then you must pronounce the lam. You say al-qamaru, al-babu, al-kitabu, and so on. If the word begins with a sun letter and you attach alif lam to it, you do not pronounce the lam, you merge it into that sun letter which is doubled with shadda. Okay, let's look at yani examples for the moon letters and examples for the sun letters. Turn to page 7. Turn to page 7, and they have two columns here on the right column, al-hurufu al-qamariyya, and on the left column, al-hurufu al-shamsiyya. So here, we come to know that there are 14 examples for the moon letters, or lunar letters, and there are 14 examples for the sun letters, or the solar letters. And this makes us to know that there are 28 consonants, 28 consonants, not including aleph, because aleph is not a consonant, it doesn't take a vowel. It's a letter of the alphabet, but it's not a consonant. So there are 28 consonants in the Arabic language. 14 of them are from the huruf qamariyya, and 14 of them are from the huruf shamsiyya. So they're going to give us an example for all 14 letters from Al-Huruf Al-Qamariya and an example for all 14 letters from Al-Huruf Al-Shamsiyya. And these words, hopefully most of them you know. In any case, I'm going to read them and I'm going to translate them. But I'm going to pause a little bit after I read it to give you a chance for yourself to see if you know the meaning of these examples. Okay, so we're reading from the right side first. Al-Huruf Al-Qamariya, Hiya. The lunar letters, Hiya, yani they are. And this, the use of Hiya here, the feminine singular, is a rule that we're going to learn in Lesson 16, or that we learned already if we finished Book 1, in Lesson 16 and 17, that plurals for غَيْرُ عَاقِل, nouns, are treated as though they are feminine singular. So here we're talking about a plural, right? We're talking about the lunar letters, that's plural, but they are غَيْرُ عَاقِل, they are not human, so we treat them as though they are feminine singular. So instead of saying they are, yani with a plural pronoun, we are using a feminine singular pronoun here, but the meaning is they are, yani these letters, they are the following 14 letters with their examples. Number one, Hamza. The first example is an example, not of Aleph, it's an example of Hamza. Hamza is written on top of Aleph. The Aleph is a seat for Hamza. The actual letter here is Hamza, Hamza til Qat. Okay, so the example for Hamza is Al Abu. Yani the word begins with Hamza, Ab. So when you add Aleph Lam to it, you pronounce the Lam. Al Abu means the father. Number two, the letter Ba. The example for it, word beginning with Ba is Babun, right? So we add Aleph Lam, we say Al Babu, meaning the door. Number three, the letter Jim. The example, Al-Jannatu. Al-Jannatu. Yani the word begins with the letter Jim. It's a moon letter, so the lamb is pronounced. Al-Jannatu, meaning the paradise. Yani Jannah means also, it may mean a garden, but here the intended, well, Allahu A'lam, but I mean if you say Al, yani definite, then the most common use of Al-Jannatu means the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He has prepared for those who believe. For those who believe and do good deeds, Allah has prepared, yani, the place of honor, Al-Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani, that no one will enter the Jannah, yani, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مؤمنة. Yani, that no one will enter the Jannah except nafsun mu'mina, except a believing soul. In some narrations, nafsun muslima. So no one will enter paradise except a believer, al-jannah. Number four, the letter ha. The example, al-himaru. Al-himaru. So this word begins with ha, and ha is from the huruf, qamariya, so we see the lam is pronounced. Al-himaru means the donkey. Number five, the letter kha. The example, al-khubzu. Al-khubzu. This word, khubz, begins with the letter kha. It's from al-huruf al-qamariya, so the lam is pronounced. Al-khubzu means the bread. Number six, the letter ayn. The example, al-aynu. Ayn is from the huruf qamariya, so the lam is pronounced al-aynu. Al-ayn means the eye. It also has another meaning, the spy. And it may also mean, al-ayn may also be a spring of water flowing. Number seven, the letter ghain. The example, al-ghada'u. Al-ghada'u. Ghain is from the huruf qamariya, so the lam is pronounced al-ghada'u, meaning the lunch. Number eight, the letter fa. The example, al-famu. Al-famu. Fa is from the huruf qamariya, so the lam is pronounced al-famu, meaning the mouth. Number nine, qaf, and the example they gave us, al-qamaru. Qaf is from the huruf qamariya, rather it's the, yani, the example for, yani, the letters where the lam is pronounced is the letter qaf and the word qamar. Al-qamaru means the moon. Number ten, the letter kaf. The example, al-kalbu. Yani kaf is from the letters, yani the lunar letters, and therefore the lam is pronounced al-kalbu, meaning the dog. Number 11, the letter meem, and the example, al-ma'u. Al-ma'u, meem is from the al-huruf al-qamariya, therefore the lam is pronounced Al-ma'u means the water. Number 12, the letter waw, and the example, al-waladu. Waw is from the huruf qamariya, so the lam is pronounced al-waladu, means the child or the boy. Number 13, the letter ha, as opposed to the letter ha. The letter ha, as in huwa, Allahu. Ha, the example, al-hawa'u. Al-hawa'u, ha is from the al-huruf al-qamariya, so the lam is pronounced al-hawa'u, means the air. And the last example, number 14, the letter ya, the example they gave, al-yadu, al-yadu. Ya is from the huruf al-qamariya, so the lam is pronounced here, al-yadu, means the hand. Okay, let's go on now to the huruf al-shamsiya. I'm going to do the same thing. We're going to just read the letter and the example. And here in these examples, all of these 14 letters are from al-huruf al-shamsiya. So we're not going to pronounce the lam that is attached to the word there. Okay, so the first example, number one, the letter ta, at-tajiru. At-tajiru, meaning the merchant. Number two, tha, the letter tha. The example, as-thawbu, as-thawbu, meaning the garment. Number three, the letter del. The example, ad-diku, not al-diku, ad-diku, meaning the rooster. Number four, the letter dhal, dhal. The example, az-zahabu, az-zahabu, meaning the gold. Number five, the letter ra. The example, ar-rajulu, ar-rajulu, meaning the man. Number six, the letter zay. The example, az-zahratu, az-zahratu, meaning the flower. Number seven, seen. The example, as-samaku, as-samaku, not al-samaku, as-samaku, because seen is from al-huruf al-shamsiyya, therefore the lam is not pronounced. It's assimilated or merged into the seen, which takes shadda, telling us to double it. As-samaku. Number, as-samaku means the fish. Number eight, sheen, the letter sheen, the example, as-shamsu, meaning the sun. Number nine, the letter sad, the example, as-sadru, as-sadru, meaning the chest, yani the front of the person's upper part of the body. Number 10, the letter bad, the example, al-dayfu, al-dayfu, means a guest, somebody that you are hosting. Number 11, the letter fa, the letter fa, and the example they gave, al-talibu. At-talibu means the student. Number 12, the letter va. The example, al-zahru. Al-zahru means the back, yani the upper part of the rear part of the body, yani the back, yani opposite the chest. Now, number 13, the letter lam, and the example they gave, al-lahmu. Al-lahmu means the meat. And the last letter, 14, the letter noon, and the example they gave is an-najmu, an-najmu, meaning the star. I hope that most of these words are known to us. Please make sure that you have memorized al-huruf al-qamariya or al-huruf al-shamsiya. So once you memorize one set of those, then everything else is going to be from the other group, right? So if somebody memorizes the huruf shamsiya, because that's where you have to apply the rule. So as a hint to help you to memorize them, if you haven't already, and hopefully you did, yani, is that the first two letters come immediately in the alphabet after alif, ba, ta, and tha. Ta and tha. And then we skip jim, ha, and kha. And then we have 10 letters in a row from the alphabet that are all shamsiya, in the order of the alphabet. Dal, dal, ra, zay, sin, sheen, sad, dad, ta, and va. 10 letters in a row. After ta and tha, 10 letters in a row from del to va. And then we have lam near the end of the alphabet, lam and noon. That's 14 letters يعني the الحروف الشمسية. Okay, I want to just quickly look at the English key for lesson number 3 on page 4 from the original Yani Medina books. And I'm not going to read the English key, I'm just going to mention the points that they mentioned. In this lesson, we learned the use of the Arabic definite article Alif Lam, which means the or the. And this definite article is prefixed to a noun. When it is prefixed to a noun, then naturally the indefinite article, the tanween, is dropped. So when if you have baytun and you add l, you have to get rid of the tanween, it becomes l baytu. Also, they mentioned in the English key that Arabic has 28 letters, meaning consonants. Of these, 14 of them are solar letters, and the other 14 are lunar letters. And they also mentioned the difference between them is that in the articulation of the solar letters, the tip or the blade of the tongue is involved, not so in the articulation of the lunar letters. Also, when alif lam is prefixed to a noun, beginning with a solar letter, then the lam of alif lam is assimilated, merged into the solar letter, and therefore that lam is not pronounced, but rather the sun letter takes shadda and is doubled. Also, they mentioned in the English key here that the fatha of the alif lam is only pronounced when it's not preceded by another word. But if it's preceded by another word, this is actually hamzatul wasl, so the fatha is not going to be pronounced. So you say al baytu, but if you had a word or a letter before it, like wa, you don't say wa al bayt, but here the fatha is omitted because this is hamzatul wasl. It means join what's before it to what's after it. So you join the wa with fatha to the lam of al bayt. You don't say wa al bayt, you say wal bayt. And then they gave us two examples here. Al-babu maftuhun and al-qalamu maksurun. And they said, we have learnt that the tanween, on top of page 5, we have learnt that the tanween is the indefinite article and is to be translated as a, as in baytun, a house. This does not apply to adjectives like maftuhun and maksurun. You don't say al-babu maftuhun, the door is a open. You just say it's open. Al-qalamu maksurun, you don't say the pen is a broken, you just say the pen is broken. So that's what we wanted to cover for lesson 3. And in the time that's remaining, we're going to see if we can cover lesson 4. Okay, lesson 4 is one page, it's page 8. And there are 5 points mentioned on this one page that we're going to be looking at. 5 points. So let's begin immediately. Page 8, Ad-Darsu Ar-Rabi'u. Ad-Darsu Ar-Rabi'u, the fourth lesson. What is it dealing with? Hurufu al-jarri. Fi, ala, min, wa ila. Huruf means letters or particles. Al-jar, yani means, yani that makes a word. These letters that make a word, majroor, makes them to be in the genitive case. Majroor. Okay, huruf al-jar means the particles of jar. They're called in English prepositions. Prepositions. Huruf al-jar. Jar means that these letters, when they act upon a word, a noun, it makes that letter majroor. It changes it to be in the genitive case. And they gave us examples. Fi, in, ala, on, min, from, ila, to. Okay, now they're telling us the rule concerning huruf jar in Arabic. This is our first point. Hurufu al-jarri. Tajurru al-isma alladhi ba'daha bil-kasrati. Huruf al-jar, the prepositions, the letters of jar. Tajurru al-ism. Yani, they make the noun alladhi, which ba'daha, after them, they make it become majroor bil-kasra, with kasra. Tajurru, it makes, yani the noun which follows it, majroor. Tajurru means it makes it majroor, taking kasra. Yani kasra is the primary sign of a word being majroor. There are also secondary signs that we'll see later. So, until now the words that we saw were all marfu'un with dhamma. And now we see that the first main cause that changes the word from being marfu'un, nominative case, to majroorun, genitive case, is that they are the object of a preposition. A noun following a preposition, we say it is ismun majroor. Yani it is in the genitive case. So now they give us examples for fi, a line of them, examples for ala, a line of them, examples for min, and examples for ila. This is our first point. Huruf jar. They make the noun that follows them majroor with kasra. So let's look at the examples they gave. Muhammadun fil bayti. Notice that Muhammadun is marfu'un with dhamma. Dhammatan. Fil bayti, yani al-bayt, now following the preposition, it became the object of the preposition. The preposition makes the noun following it what? Tajurru al-ism al-ladhi ba'daha bil-kasrati. It makes it take kasra. Muhammadun fil bayti, meaning Muhammad is in the house. Second example, Yasirun fil gurfati. Yasirun fil gurfati. Yasirun is marfu'un with dhamma, and al-gurfati is majroor with kasra because it's the object of the preposition fi. Remember the huruf jar, they do what? Tajurru al-ism al-ladhi ba'daha bil-kasra. Yani they make the noun following them majroor with kasra. Yasirun fil-gurfati, meaning Yasir, that's a man's name, is in the room. Next example, Aminatu fil-matbakhi. Aminatu fil matbakhi. Yani Amina is in the matbakh. She is in the kitchen. Again, al matbakhi became majroor with kasra because of the harf jar fi. The next line is examples of words that became majroor because of ala, meaning on or upon. Al qalamu ala al maktabi. The pen is on the desk or the table. At-tiflu ala sariri. The tifl, the child, the infant, is on the sarir, on the bed. Notice that at-tiflu begins with a sun letter. So we don't say al-tiflu, we say at-tiflu ala sariri. And same thing with sarir. It's a sun letter, so we don't say al-sariri, we say as-sariri. Next example, at-talibu ala al-kursiyyi. At-talibu, ta is also a sun letter. At-talibu ala al-kursiyyi. Yani with shadda on the ya. The student is on the kursi, yani on the chair. The next line of examples for min. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min al-fasli. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min al-fasli. Meaning the teacher went out from the classroom. Notice that al-fasli is majroor because of the preposition min. Next example. Fatimatu min al-hindi. Fatimatu min al-hindi. Fatima, that's a female name, is from al-hind, India. Next example. Hada al-qalamu min Muhammadin. Hada al-qalamu min Muhammadin. This pen is from Muhammad. Again, Muhammad became majroor because of the preposition min. It's the object of the preposition, so we say it's ism, yani majroor. The last line of examples are for the preposition ila, which means to. Zahaba Khalidun ila al-mahdi. Zahaba Khalidun ila al-mahdi. Yani Khalid went to the mahad, yani to the institute. Ila al-mahdi. Yani the mahad became majroor because of the preposition ila. Next example, Zahaba Aliyun ila al-mudiri. Zahaba Aliyun ila al-mudiri. Yani Ali went to the principal. And again, al-mudiri is majroor because of the harf ja ila. Last example, Zahaba at-talibu ila al-mirhadi. ذهب الطالب إلى المرحاض. يعني the student went to the مرحاض. يعني مرحاض literally means toilet. We'll say he went to the bathroom to use the toilet. Okay, that's the end of يعني the examples for في على من and إلى. And these prepositions in the original Medina books were given Yani in two parts. Lesson 4 is divided in two parts. Two of them are given in the first part, two of them are given in the second part. Additionally, in this lesson are given four pronouns, two in the first part and two in the second part. We'll come to them in the lessons after lesson 10. I think primarily they're going to be mentioned, I think, in lesson, maybe lesson 14 or 15, I think. Okay, so we'll do the pronouns later on. We're not going to see the pronouns in this lesson, just the prepositions. The next point in this lesson, after those examples, we have the word aina. Aina, which means where. They said, aina su'alun anil makani. It is a word that's used to ask a question about, su'alun, a question about an al-makani, about the place. A question, when you're asking about a place, can you use the word aina? Where is he? Is he in the house, the masjid, the marketplace? You're asking about where, what place is that person in? You say aina. Aina su'alun anil makani. It is a question word that's used to ask about the place that somebody is in. For example, you say, this is an example, aina Muhammadun, meaning, where is Muhammad? Answer, Muhammadun fil ghurfati. Muhammad is in which place? Al ghurfati. Which makan? Al ghurfati, the room. Muhammad is in the room. Going across, aina Fatimatu. Where's Fatima? Fatimatu fil matbakhi. Fatimatu is in which place? Which makan? Al matbakh, the kitchen. Okay, so aina is a question word. Ism istifham, that's used to ask about a place. The next word, this is the third point of this lesson, ماذا. ماذا means ما هذا. ما هذا. What is this? So because ماذا literally means ما هذا, we know that it has to be used, ما is used for غير عاقل, right? To ask about غير عاقل. So they said ما هذا, it means ما هذا. And its meaning, or its usage, is لغير العاقل. Yani for non-humans. It's used to ask about غير العاقل. غير العاقل. Not for عاقل, humans. And by the way, عاقل in Arabic is used not only for humans, it's also used for angels and jinn. But for the most part, we say that it's for rational beings, intelligent beings, humans, yani, generally speaking. Okay, examples for ماذا, ما هذا. Examples. ماذا على المكتب. يعني what? ما هذا. What is this? ما هذا على المكتب. ماذا? ما هذا على المكتب. What is this on the desk or the table? Answer. القلم على المكتب. القلم على المكتب. The pen is on the desk. صحيح. This is correct usage of ماذا, because it's used with what? غير عاقل. Going across. ماذا على السرير. What is on the bed? Or literally, ما هذا على السرير. So when we use ماذا, we have to remember that the meaning of it is ما, and this is always used for غير عاقل, so we have to be asking about things. ماذا على السرير. What is on the bed? Or what is this on the bed? The answer, الساعة على السرير. The watch is on the bed. This is صحيح, because ماذا is used to ask about غير عاقل, and الساعة is غير عاقل. It's not a human being. Next line, example, ماذا على المكتب. What is this on the table? Answer, محمد على المكتب. محمد على المكتب. This is خطأ. Why is it خطأ? Because I'm saying, what is this? Ma is used for غير عاقل. And if I was asking about Muhammad, then Muhammad is not غير عاقل. So this is incorrect to say ماذا على المكتب, what is on the table, and then say محمد على المكتب. Muhammad is on the table. We should have said الكتاب على المكتب, القلم على المكتب, الدفتر على المكتب. يعني something غير عاقل. ماذا. ماذا is used to ask about غير عاقل. Okay. The next point is, yani, Al-alamu, this is a very important point. Al-alamu al-mu'annathu la yunawwanu. La yunawwanu. Al-alam al-mu'annathu. Meaning, al-alam is the proper noun. Not a common noun, a proper noun. The name of a person or a place. The proper noun. Yani the name of a person or a place. Like, al-alamu al-mu'annathu means the feminine proper noun. Feminine proper noun. So there is al-alam al-mudhakkaru, masculine proper noun. And then there's al-alamu al-mu'annathu, feminine proper noun. So, as far as masculine proper nouns, yani this rule is not applicable to them. This is for feminine proper nouns. La yunawwanu, meaning they do not take tanween. Tanween. They do not take a double vowel at the end of the word. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. This is what is called, if we look at the original Medina books, it's called a word that is mamnu' min as-sarf. Words that do not take tanween. And secondly, and we'll see this in the last two lessons of the Medina, of the Medina program, book 1, in lesson 22 and 23, we'll see categories of words that are mamnu' min as-sarf. Yani they are diptotes, they don't take tanween, and when they are majroor, they don't take kasra, they take fatha instead. And we'll come to that when we get to it. But what is important here is that this is the first category that we have seen so far of nouns that do not take tanween, that are mamnu' min as-sarf, that are diptotes. The first category is al-alamu al-mu'annathu, feminine proper nouns, the proper noun names of females. And then they gave us examples. Number one, Muhammadun with tanween, masculine proper noun. Aishatu with no tanween, feminine proper noun. Ammarun with tanween, that's a masculine proper noun. Aminatu with no tanween because it's a feminine proper noun. They don't take tanween. Yasirun, masculine proper noun with tanween. Maryamu, feminine proper noun, no tanween. Aliyun, masculine proper noun with tanween. Fatimatu, feminine proper noun, no tanween. Okay, so these are examples of masculine proper nouns taking tanween, feminine proper nouns, al-alam al-mu'annathu, it doesn't take tanween. La yunawwanu, meaning it doesn't take tanween. Next line of examples, a'ishatun with tanween, khata, this is a mistake. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Aminatun, khata. Maryamun, khata. Fatimatun, khata. All of these are mistakes because these are all feminine proper nouns, and we just said al-alamu al-mu'annathu, the feminine proper noun, la yunawwanu, doesn't take tanween. Feminine proper nouns, it doesn't matter if they end with ta marbuta, as in aishatu and aminatu and fatimatu, or feminine proper nouns that don't have ta marbuta. Also, as long as they are feminine proper nouns, they do not take tanween. The last point of this lesson is the last two lines, min al-bayti, the preposition min that we had in the beginning of this lesson. It ends with sukoon, min, mim, kasra, noon, sukoon. But when it's followed by alif, lam, then we add fatha. Okay, then we add fatha. So we don't say min and then al-bayt, we say min al-bayt, min al-bayt, min al-bayti, from the house. Asluhu, min, noon with sukoon, followed by al-bayti. But it became the min with sukoon. Whenever it is added to alif lam, the definite article, then it changes from min to mina. And you join it to the lam, min al, yani bayti, for example. So they said here, hurrikati an-noonu bil-fathati mana'an li-iltiqai الساكنين حركت النون, meaning the noon in min which had sukoon, it takes a haraka, a vowel. Which vowel? Al-fathati, yani it is vowelized with fatha. Mana'an, in order to prevent iltiqa'i sakinain. Mana'an liltiqa'i الساكنين. منعن لإلتقاء. إلتقاء means meeting. الساكنين means two ساكن letters. ساكن means a letter with سكون. ساكنين, two letters with sukoon. Iltiqa as-sakinain, the meeting of two letters with sukoon, back to back. They don't allow this in Arabic, so in order to prevent it, the noon from min has to be vowelized, so it takes a fatha in order to prevent there being two letters with sukoon coming back to back. The noon of min and the lam of the definite article. Okay, so this is a rule, iltiqa as-sakinain, in order to prevent two sakin letters from coming back to back, the word before, and the first sakin letter is going to be vowelized. In this case, it's going to take a fatha, in some cases it will take a kasra, in some cases it will take a dhamma, and those rules, yani, will take gradually as we go through the lessons. Or we have already taken them. Okay, this is the end of what, yani, is covered here in lesson 4. We're going to look at the English key just a little bit. We'll look at the English key just a little bit, right? Again, in the English key, the two main points that are dealt with here are prepositions and pronouns. But in this lesson, in the shart, we only dealt with the prepositions. So in the English key, they are reminding us that Arabic nouns have endings to show their functions in the sentence. Meaning, tell us their i'rab. Are they marfu'un with dhamma, or majrurun with kasra, or mansub with fatha? So those vowels on the end of the Arabic nouns tell us about their grammatical functions. The normal ending of a noun, the original ending of a noun is dhamma, as in al-baytu shadidun. So, a noun that ends with dhamma is in the nominative case. This in Arabic is called marfu'un. And then they gave us examples, and they showed us that when that noun is preceded by a preposition like fi or ala or min or ila, then that dhamma changes to kasra because the word no longer is marfu'un in the nominative case, but rather becomes majrurun in the genitive case. So a noun preceded by a preposition is said to be in the genitive case. In Arabic, majrur. And then the lesson goes on to tell us about pronouns. We're going to skip that because we're going to come to the pronouns later. We're going to go to the end of this part of the English key on page 8, the next page. And it tells us here that most feminine nouns end with round ta, that is tarmabuta. But there are some which do not have any ending, do not have, the feminine ending of ta marbuta. So they're just making a note that there are some feminine nouns that don't end with tarmabuta. Not every feminine word is going to have tarmabuta. Also, they told us, under the note, number one, we have learned that tanween is the indefinite article. For example, baytun means a house. This rule does not apply to proper nouns. So Hamidun is just Hamid, not a Hamid. So if you say Ja'a Hamidun, you don't say a Hamid came. You just say Hamid came, okay? Came. So the point here is that we have to remember, even though Tanween is the indefinite article, there are exceptions to this rule. So one of the exceptions is that proper nouns, like Hamidun and Muhammadun, we don't say a Hamid or a Muhammad, we just translate the name as Hamid or Muhammad. The last note that they make is feminine proper nouns have no tanween. We just took that in this lesson. So Fatimatu, Zainabu, Aminatu, they are all feminine proper nouns. They don't take tanween. Those that have tarmabuta and those that do not have tarmabuta. None of them take tanween. In the second part of this English key on page 10, it also tells us about some other prepositions, ila and min, and other pronouns, anta and ana, huwa and hiya. We're not going to do the pronouns now, but there is a point here on page 10, halfway down the page where it says, we also learn here two verbs, dhahaba, he went, and kharaja, he went out. And the point that I want to make here is that in these examples, aina bilalun, where's bilal? Dhahaba ila al-masjidi, he went to the mosque. But in the last sentence, ذَهَبَ بِلَالٌ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, we say Bilal went to the mosque. We don't say, he Bilal went to the mosque. ذَهَبَ means he went, but if the subject, the fa'il, the doer of the action is mentioned, then the pronoun he is not going to be mentioned. So ذَهَبَ means he went, but if it is followed by a noun as the subject, as the fa'il of the verb, the pronoun he is dropped. So I just want to make that note, because sometimes we don't pay attention to those fine points. So this is the end of what we wanted to cover today. So as far as lesson 4, I just want to summarize that lesson 4 deals with حروف الجر. And they gave us 4 of them. في, على, من, and إلى. حروف الجر means the particles which cause the noun following them to become مجرور with كسرة. كسرة being the primary sign of a noun being مجرور. The second point is the سؤال عن المكان. A question about a place we ask with the word أين. The next point is ماذا, which means ما هذا is used for غير عاقل ماذا. When you say what is this, يعني you're asking about غير عاقل, because ما is used for غير عاقل. So ماذا is used for غير عاقل. The fourth point is that feminine proper nouns do not take تنوين. العلم المؤنث لا ينون. And the last point is that the preposition من, which ends with نون and سكون, whenever that word min is followed by alif lam, in order to avoid or to prevent the meeting of two second letters, iltiqa is second ain, in order to prevent that, the sukun of min becomes fatha. Okay, so these are the 5 points that we mentioned in lesson 4. And now, in the few minutes that remain, we want to just take a quick look at what we mentioned Yani previously about supplementary activities. So we want to just have a quick vocabulary review quiz, Yani from some of the words from the original Medina books. All I want you to do is listen and translate without writing. You don't have to write, but just listen and translate. I'm going to read, and you're going to listen and orally, Yani say the meaning of these words. So this is intended to be what? A vocabulary quiz to see if you... How is your vocabulary? Is your vocabulary, you know, up to par? Okay? So you don't have to write. All you have to do is listen without looking at the book and just tell me the meaning of the following words. Okay? So I'm going to take a few words from the vocabulary from lesson number 3. I'm going to give you some words and I want you to just tell me the meaning. Okay? The first word, faqirun. Faqirun means poor. غنيٌ, غنيٌ means rich. قصيرٌ, قصيرٌ means short. طويلٌ, طويلٌ means tall. حارٌ, with شد on the ra, حارٌ means hot, and its opposite is بارِدٌ. Baridun, cold. Waqifun, waqifun means standing. And jalisun, jalisun means sitting. Qadimun, qadimun means old. And jadidun, jadidun means new. Ba'idun, ba'idun means far. And qaribun, qaribun means near. This is just an idea of some of the vocabulary that we took in lesson 3. And you need to, look at your vocabulary and see where you're at with vocabulary and how well you know the vocabulary. Also, we look at a couple of words from lesson 4. As-sama'u means the sky. You're not supposed to be looking at the book. You're supposed to be listening and just orally translating the meanings. Ghurfatun. Ghurfatun means a room. Al-faslu. Al-faslu means the classroom. Al-hammamu. Al-hammamu means the bathroom. Al-mirhadu. Al-mirhadu means the toilet. And al-matbakhu. Al-matbakhu means the kitchen. So this is our just brief vocabulary quiz, Yani just looking at some of the words that we had in lesson 3 and lesson 4 in the original Medina books. The last activity that we want to do right now is a listening exercise. Okay, we have just a few minutes remaining and we want to do a listening exercise. So what is the point of this listening exercise? The point is that I want you to listen. Do not look at the book. Listen and translate. Without looking at the book. Just translate orally. You don't have to write. I'm going to read some examples from the sharh, from our sharh, and you're going to translate them, okay, without looking at the book. Okay. Al-qalamu maksurun. Al-qalamu maksurun means, without looking at the book, the pen is broken. Al-babu maftuhun. Al-babu maftuhun means, the door is open. Al-waladu jalisun. Al-waladu jalisun means the boy is sitting. The boy is sitting. Another example, yani, listen and just orally translate. Muhammadun fil bayti. Muhammadun fil bayti. Muhammad is in the house. Yasirun fil ghurfati. Yasirun fil ghurfati. Yasir is in the room. Aminatu fil matbakhi. Aminatu fil matbakhi. Amina is in the kitchen. Amina is in the kitchen. Al-qalamu ala al-maktabi. Al-qalamu ala al-maktabi. The pen is on the desk. Al-tiflu ala al-sariri. Al-tiflu ala al-sariri. The child or infant is on the bed. Remember, you should just be listening, not looking at the book. Just listen and orally translate. Al-talibu ala al-kursiyyi. Al-talibu ala al-kursiyyi. The student is on the chair. The last couple of examples. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min al-fasli. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min al-fasli. The teacher went out of the classroom. Fatimatu min al-Hindi. Fatimatu min al-Hindi. Fatima is from India. Al-qalamu min Muhammadin. Al-qalamu, I mean, هذا القلم من محمد. هذا القلم من محمد. This pen is from Muhammad. And finally, ذهب خالد إلى المعهد. ذهب خالد إلى المعهد. يعني خالد went to the institute. ذهب علي إلى المدير. ذهب علي إلى المدير. علي went to the principal. ذهب الطالب إلى المرحاض. ذهب طالب إلى المرحاض. The student went to the يعني bathroom to use the toilet. Okay, so these are يعني just يعني practice exercises for you training your ear to listen and be able to comprehend what you hear without looking. يعني when you're looking at the book and you're translating what you see, that's a little bit different than translating what you hear. And if you want to really learn Arabic, you have to also be able to understand not only what you see, but what you hear. Okay, there's one more activity that we want to at some point do, and that's going to be al-imla, that is dictation, where you listen without looking at the book, and this time you write the words that you hear. You write them out. You listen and you write what you hear. So this is both a listening skill and a writing skill activity. You listen and you write what you hear. Again, I want to remind everyone to please try to find a study partner so that you can read to them and you can listen to them read to you and you can discuss the rules and go over matters, practice with one another, spend a little time, yani, with somebody else on a daily basis trying to go over your lessons so that you can perfect what you are learning or what you are reviewing, yani, during this next few weeks. Okay, practice listening, practice reading, practice writing, and hopefully we are in the process now of trying to prepare some audio lessons where we're going to read each lesson and you'll be able to just listen to it in Arabic with no English. So that means you can close your book or you can open it. And maybe in the beginning you might want to look at the book as you listen to it, and then you want to also practice by just listening without seeing anything to train your ear. Hopefully those lessons are going to be prepared this week. I was hoping to have some ready by today, but unfortunately not yet. They are in the process, and hopefully during the course of this week, homework, you will also get those audio files. I'll be sending it up to everybody who has given us their email for our email list group. And we'll be sending out the homework assignments, inshallah, tomorrow. The homework assignments are going to be uniform. Basically, we're going to do the same thing with each lesson. That is, you're going to read the lesson and write it out. And then the next day, you're going to read it again and identify, underline, or highlight the words that you're not familiar with. And you're going to translate the examples. You're going to translate the examples. And finally, you're going to take a look at the English key to go over some of the points that might not be in the lesson or that you may not understood completely, so you can find some help from that English key which explains the rules of each lesson. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Oh, just one last thing, very, very importantly. The time of the Dhuhr prayer is getting a little bit later for me here in the East Coast of the United States. The prayer is getting a little bit later every day, 1 minute or so. So next week, it will be impossible for me to start the lesson at 12:35. So we're going to start at 12:45, 10 minutes late. I'll send out notification of that. Next week, inshallah, we're going to be starting at 12:45. Instead of 12:35, we're going to be starting at 12:45. And pay attention. I'll be sending out notification over the next few weeks as the time changes a little bit more. We'll have to modify or adjust with that. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair. Allah yahfadukum. And make your affairs easy for you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.